open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 4, and we're going to continue there. And I had to wrestle with God this morning, and I made a deal with him. Yeah. Well, I think it's okay. He didn't like my hips still intact, and I'm still walking. But it's crazy, and I truly believe that this is what God would have me do, because Travis confirmed it this morning. So I was reading through. I always read from the beginning of the book up through the passage I'm going to read, no matter where I'm at. That's just what I do that morning. And really, this happened yesterday as I was studying too, and I came to verse 9, and I got stuck there. So I started doing some research, and I thought, well, that's okay, God, I get what you're saying. And I found this really cool, it was actually a sermon on verse 9, and then I did some more digging and some cross-referencing. And so I think next week we're going to go back and touch on verse 9, because he was trying to get me to go there this morning, and I wasn't necessarily prepared for that. But there's something really cool that God showed me out of verse 9 that I don't want to miss. So we'll go back. We'll back up and punt on that. So I think God's okay with that. And, you know, we can bounce back and forth if we need to. So, but today's message, and we're going to cover a pretty good size chunk of scripture, which is not normal, but it's titled Stay Where God Has You. And man, there's so many days in my life that I feel like I want to go do something else. I feel like my agenda matters more than God's. I feel like that this is not a good idea, but this is. You know, it's one of those battles I believe that we all wrestle with, like, because we still wear this rotten flesh, and it wants to try to dictate what we do and how we do it and where we go and when we go and everything, right? But we have the Spirit of God living inside of us, which is far more powerful, not even a comparison. So this passage today, titled Stay Where God Has You, I think is fitting for the church today. And I'm not just talking about New Life Baptist Church, but, you know, it continues through. We're not going to recap, but we'll recap a little bit next week as we get into verse 9 again. But the priest in our passage were key players. But they really, everyone in the passage was a key player. Because everyone, the unity that had to happen at this point in time, as they began, as they crossed the Jordan River, as they marched through the dryness of the flooded, where the flooded river once was, everyone had to be on board. Everyone had different tasks, right? Everyone had different things that, okay, when we get across this, I know what I'm doing. And some were gathering stones, some were preparing for battle, some were just like trying to keep their kids with them, you know, and keep everybody in their posse moving forward. But the key was that they had to follow the Lord's instructions to a T. And the priest, man, they had the hardest steps to take, because they were the first to step into the water, and we've talked about that. But not only did they have to be the first physical take the first physical steps into the water, they also had to be the last ones to leave. They were the first in, last out. And I'm not a military guy, but I'm pretty sure that's a slogan for some of the military. First in, last out. And that's how God works, right? He's the way maker. He goes in, he makes the way, and he makes sure that everyone gets through the way. And then he's like, okay, we're out. Let's move forward. And so our text today is in verses 10 through 18, and let's read that today together. It says, "For the priest which bare the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priest in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up onto dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. Father God, I pray today, God, that we would stay planted right where you have us planted. God, that we would only find direction from you. Father, that we wouldn't allow our emotions to dictate our movement. And God, that we wouldn't allow our self-focused desires to dictate our movement. And Father, we would just be grounded and rooted in your word and in your truth. So God, I pray today, God, you would empower us. God, that you would charge us. You would and you would send us out of this place, Father, to do your mission, to according to your will. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I have 4 points today. They're not super like amazing. Wow, how did that happen? It was just out of the text. But point number one is, others rely on you to stand fast in the Lord. In Psalm 119, 133, it says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Oftentimes, we get that backwards. We let the iniquity, we let the sin, we let our flesh dictate and have dominion over us, and then our decisions are made out of that, instead of saying, God, you please order my steps. And you please order them from your word. Because every single person, you know, especially here, but everyone in the United States of America has access to God's word. Okay? They have access. They might not have it, but they have access to it. Because you can go anywhere, praise the Lord, in the United States of America, and pick up a Bible at a gas station if you need to, right? Maybe sitting next to the toilet, an evangelist left one there for them. Who knows? But we have access to God's word. So we can get our marching orders, our steps can be ordered from God's word. So there's no excuse. There's some people in this world that don't have the Bible in their own language, and it's a little bit different. And that's why God says, go ye into all the world, right, and preach the gospel. But so others rely on you, on me, to stand fast in the Lord. Because here's the thing. Oftentimes we think that our decisions only affect us. What I do only affects me, and maybe it affects my family, and maybe it affects those that are closest to me, but the facts are that our decisions not only affect ourselves, but they affect everyone around us. Everyone. Whether we know them or not, our decisions affect them. And we have no idea how many people are following our lead. We may not ever know the impact that we have on those that are around us, but we do have an impact on those around us. We may not want to admit it, but we're born again leaders. Well, I'm not a leader. God wants you to be a leader. Maybe we just haven't realized it yet. Here's the thing, the church is in the business of reproducing leaders, because if we're just in the business of reproducing babies, right, then we're just going to have a big nursery of just a bunch of immature Christians. But we want to take a baby Christian and disciple them and watch them grow and teach them leadership skills and teach them how to lead other people. And then what happens is that good leaders, man, they also are good followers. They have to be good followers first, but then they make good leaders. And that's what we're reproducing. Leaders that desire to also reproduce leaders. It's discipleship, church. The priest here in our text had a hard job. They had to hold the ark, right? They stood there. They stepped into the raging river. They had to stand there, and it does not tell us how long that took, but I'm sure it was more than 5 minutes. And then to hold the ark, right, on the sticks, to hold that there and to stand firm, to stand there, not move, and just stand there as soul by soul passed before them. They're probably like, man, this is almost over. No one knew how long it would take for the events to transpire. No one knew the exact time that the last foot would step out of the dried up Jordan, but God, he knew. And you know what? He wouldn't have commanded Joshua to tell the priests to do something that they weren't going to have the ability to do. He wasn't going to set them up for failure. Like, I know in 13 minutes that one of them's going to get tired, the ark's going to hit the ground, the floods are coming back, and all the people are dying. He knew his plan, his ways are perfect. He knew every heart and every soul that was there that day. He knew that what they were thinking. He knew what they would do. The key word in verse 10 is that word stood. And I have it circled in my Bible. For the priests which bear the ark stood. They stood. Like they were instructed to do. You know, if somebody was to tell me, I need you to stand against that wall for 1 hour, I would not make it. Right? I would be like, I would stand there for a while, I would kneel there for a while, I would lean there for a while, I would sit on the floor for a while, and I would, like, I stayed next to the wall like you told me to. Yeah, but you didn't stand. You didn't do what I completely told you to do. It doesn't say the priests got tired and took a break and sat down on their cooler. No, it says they stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded. That's, man, if we could get our minds wrapped around that. That God has us here for a purpose. He has us, New Life Baptist Church in Clinton, Missouri, for a purpose. And He wants us to stand, yeah. Right? He doesn't want us to take a break. He doesn't want us to take a time out. He doesn't want us to pause. He says, man, just stand in my truth, right? Stand until everything I want accomplished is completed. And then He may give us more instructions. But these priests, man, He said, just stand there. Just stand in the midst of the Jordan. Obviously, you see the waters are held back. Just trust me. Oftentimes in this world, we stand until we see something different. We stand until we're tired of doing whatever it is that we're doing. And we stand until there's something better in our eyes. We stand until our flesh tells us to go somewhere else. We stand until whatever. But not until God says to move. We bail. We never consider those that it may affect. We never consider what it may do to the mission that God has us here for. We allow our flesh to dictate what we will do next. We never ask God to order our steps in His Word, but we often do allow the iniquity to have dominion over us. Because it's easier. Right? It's easier. It's easier to please the flesh. It's easier to give in to those desires. It's easier to just give up. The priests that bear the ark were commanded to stand there until every soul passed over. They didn't have a choice. They couldn't quit. They couldn't take a break. Others were relying on them to stand there until it was over. In church, we are exactly the same way. Our decisions affect others, and maybe more than they affect us. We make decisions in the flesh. We make decisions that never esteem others better than ourselves. We do what we want when we want to do it. That's just how it's going to be, right? We try to be a dictator. Nobody's going to tell me any different. God desires for us to trust Him. He desires for us to stand until He clearly tells us to move. These priests represent complete obedience here for us today. They were to stand in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished. That's what it says. Everything. Everything that the Lord commanded, until it was finished, they were to stand there. Church, it's not over yet. Jesus hasn't returned. We still have work to do. For some of us, we may need to get trained up. For others, we need to get to training others. Some of us need to step it up a notch, get involved, be consistent, whatever it may be. You know, whatever God is telling you to do, we need to listen to Him. We need to listen to the voice of God. We need to listen to what He's telling us in His Word. But not only listen, we need to do it. We need to be obedient. 50% isn't good enough. Right? 50% is not good enough. And I've shared with you before, but when we coach, if they make 50% of a play, it's still a bad play. 50% is failing. We want to give 100%. We want to do everything until God says, okay, that's it. The world's getting soft. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the Bible says. And what is hindering me? What is hindering you from telling others about this? What is hindering you from living this out for others to witness? We must stand, right? We must stand. We must stay where we are. We must be grounded in God's Word. We must stay there until God says move. The second point is the enemy is real. In verses 11 through 13, And then it says, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests and the presence of the people and the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel. Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, right? Okay, we're stopped there. The enemy's real, y'all. The enemy, and we know that. Nobody here knows. There's like, well, I don't think there really is an enemy. We know that the enemy is real. And when we cross over, when we cross enemy lines, when we become a child of God, when we go from one side to the other, the enemy's honked off, right? And he's like, before, you know, the enemy was there, right? But we were serving the enemy.
Right.
So it wasn't like we were a threat. And then we become a threat to the enemy, and then we're like, oh, now we're in a war.
Yep.
Now I'm in a war. Well, that's not the gospel that someone shared with me. They said this is going to be easy. That's not the truth. When we surrender our will for His, when we become a new creature in Christ, we enter into enemy territory. Yes. We're on the Lord's side, yes, but we have declared war against the enemy. But it's not a fight that we have to fight. That's what's awesome. We declare that we will not serve that punk anymore. We declare that he is a punk and we don't like him. And we declare that we will not serve sin anymore. We declare that we will serve the Lord thy God with all that we have. And these 2.5 tribes, they knew what they had signed up for. Right? Because if you turn back to Joshua, we've covered this, but if you turn back to Joshua chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, we see Joshua reminding them of what deal they made, right, back when they were following Moses. And in verse 12, it says, and the Reubenites, and to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word. Right? Remember the deal which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you the rest and hath given you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in this land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Unto the Lord hath given your brethren rest, and he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. So he clearly instructs them, you're going to fight until I say it's over. Not until you get tired, not until you think it's good, but until the mission is accomplished, you are going to continue. Because the enemy is real. You guys are enlisted because you're going to go before and you're going to annihilate the enemy. You're going to slaughter the enemy. You are here to protect the children of Israel. And you're going to go out before them. And what's awesome is they followed. They did what they said they were going to do. They followed the Lord's commandment. They came through on their end of the deal. They understood that they were crossing the Jordan not just to enter the promised land for a season, right? Because their land, they made the deal to stay on the other side. But they got to step foot into the promised land because that's what God told them to do, right? If you want your land here, then you're going to go to battle. You're going to go to war, and you got to be battle ready. 40,000 of the Lord's best warriors were selected to go to battle. Church, if we don't understand how important we are and how we are a part of God, 40,000 people is nothing, right? How many people are in the world today? A lot, right? It's going up. I don't know. People are making babies faster than people are dying, I think. So, but 40,000 is just like a little thimbleful compared to the amount of people. And, you know, the amount of believers in this world today is like a thimbleful. God's army is like a thimbleful fighting against a whole bucketful. And we're a part of that army today. We've been called up to battle. The battle is not against flesh and blood, praise the Lord. The battle is for souls, for loved ones, some that we've never met, some we may never meet in our lifetime. But the battle's worth it. That's what's awesome. The enemy is on high alert, and he will do anything he can to get us off course. And this rolls back to the first point, that we must stand fast, right? We must cling to the cross. We must fully submit to our leadership. The Lord will fight for us. Why would God give us new life and then leave us to fend for ourselves? That's not the God that we serve. That's not the God that gave us new life. You know, he desires for our submission to his authority, though. God's love is unfathomable. Sometimes it's just hard to understand how much he loves us. Because we let the flesh dictate that. Well, if God loved me so much, I wouldn't have got a cold last week. That's ignorant, right? Maybe we need better hygiene. We always blame it on someone else. Always. You know, God desires so deeply for victory in our walks. And what we must understand is that the battle that we're in today, church, it will end one day. Some will win, some will lose. But what if we go tell all the ones that we think are going to lose that there's hope? What if we step up and say, I'll go to battle? God, absolutely. You gave me new life. These guys are like, you gave us this land. You gave us what we asked for. Well, yeah, Lord, what else can I do except fight for you? What if we remember that God is not willing that any should perish? Is that our heart's desire as well? Do we desire for those lost people that God has clearly placed in our life? Do we desire, man, God, please, please don't let them die and go to hell? What if we take that a step further and say, God, please allow me to speak truth into their life? What if God says, you're the messenger and you need to go and tell them? You need to go to battle. You need to step up. You're going to have to sacrifice. These 40,000 soldiers, all their stuff, all their people, all their families, they're not with them, right? They're loners out here for one purpose, to go to battle. And Jesus says, man, we have to forsake all and follow him. These soldiers, man, they forsake it. And they're like, some were going to lose their life. But they did it. These tribes were called to battle. They surrendered their will to God's, right? No hesitation, just obedience to God. God is a God of order. All the people crossed over, the stones were placed. Now it's time for the tribes to go ahead and clear the way. Church, each and every person matters. Each and every one of the part of God's army, right? Each and every one of us are a part of that army if you're a believer. Each of you have a role. Each of you play a part in God's magnificent plan. And I'm so thankful that I get to be a part of that. Each of you have a choice to make right now. Each of you can step up or you can step down. Which you don't... The question is, which one do you think the enemy wants us to do? Right? Does he want us to step up or does he want us to step down? Does he want us to get to hiking or does he want us to stand firm? Being a part of God's army is never easy and never will be easy. These warriors had to leave those loved ones. They had to forsake their desires for the sake of others. But most importantly, they had to trust the Lord. There was many things that they could have been doing. Many chores at home, many children to take care of, jobs to tend to, but God commanded them to be here on this day for this purpose. And do you believe that God has you here this morning for this purpose? I believe with all my heart that God has us here today for this reason. Or do you believe in happenstance? Do you know if you type happenstance in Microsoft Word, it doesn't put a red squiggly line. It's actually a word. I'm like, wow. But do you believe in happenstance? Do you believe things just happen for no reason? I used to. But I don't anymore. I truly believe God has a divine plan for each and every one of us. And it starts today. You can't change yesterday, but you can choose to allow God to change today. The question that we must answer is, what do I do when the Lord commands me to do something? We read in the book of Matthew, in Matthew 22, 36 through 39, it says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Why do you think that all the people here in our text finally obeyed? Why do you think things changed? Because of this love. Because of this love they'd found for the Lord. Church, why do we change? Because of God's love that He gave us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? Yes. He poured out His love while we were yet unlovable, We all know that one person that's unlovable. We're like, man, I've tried to love them. I just can't love them. They're just unlovable. And that, I'm like, I know that's what God thought about me. I've tried to love that guy, but man, he is a mess. He can't get things figured out. That's not God, how God operates. It's like, I love him no matter what. I hate the sin. I love the sinner. He poured out his love while we were yet unlovable, but yet we were so quick to tuck that love in our pockets and not distribute it to those that are around us. And these tribes that were called to battle had a love that we may never understand. Our troops that fight for our freedom here in the USA have a love for their country and people that some of us may never understand. Love the Lord thy God. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Are we doing this, church? Where is all the love? Do we truly love the Lord, and does that love extend to our neighbor? And I'm not talking about physically like your neighbor next to your house, but maybe it is, right? Some neighbors are hard to love. I've got some. But no matter who they are, no matter what they are doing in their life, can you love them? Do you love them like the Lord loves them? God loves the sinner. He hates the sin. Don't get entangled in the sin with your neighbor. Love them through it. And the third point is follow your God-given authority. And I'm so thankful for the God-given authority that God placed in my life back in 2008 and for the years to follow up till this day. And this boils down, this point boils down in verse 14. It says, on that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. Right? There was still a little bit of a transition going on, right? They had followed Moses for so long. And now all of a sudden Moses is gone and Joshua is the new leader, and I'm sure there was some that had hesitation to that, right? But does it really matter? On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in all the sight of Israel. And that day, God made sure people knew Joshua is the one you need to be following, right? He is the appointed leader. I have placed him in this role. He didn't choose this role. In fact, he probably didn't want this role, but I appointed him to this role and commanded him to take this role. It boils down to trust, though. These people had to trust Joshua, because Joshua could have been making stuff up. Like, hey, God told me we're going to cross this river, and people would have been like, you're an idiot. But they had to trust him. Did they trust him enough to, when he said, God said... They said, we need to listen up, because God speaks to this dude and I need to know what God is saying. They had to trust him. Church, we will only follow those that we trust. We will only truly follow those that have been proven trustworthy. You know, the leadership of the local New Testament church is God-given. Or at least it should be, right? There's some out there today that maybe are self-appointed, that just looking for a place of power or authority or whatever it is. But there's some that are, and there's some that, man, they're not who they say they are, unfortunately. You know, they call those wolves in sheep's clothing. But I thank God for my God-given authority. Those that I have submitted to, those that I can have fully they've invested in my spiritual growth. They care about my life bringing glory to the Father, and I trust them. Right? But the thing is, I trust them because they line up with what this says. Right? We can listen to podcast after podcast after podcast and whatever else cast you want to listen to online and just be brainwashed, okay? And just believe, I just believe everything they say. And they could be blowing smoke plumb up you know where, because you've never fact-checked it, right? Facebook fact-checks stuff, I think. I don't know. I just ignore that stuff. But man, if what someone is teaching you, if what someone is in counseling you to do doesn't line up with this, get out of there. Mm-hmm. Flee. Mm-hmm. Run for the hills and don't look back, because it's a trap. We must follow and make sure, man, your authority, you'll know. You'll know, because it will line up with God's word. The Lord your God is the true leader. We know that. But he appoints leadership in our lives to follow and to learn and grow from. Joshua is that man here. And what's really awesome is Joshua is a picture of Christ. What better dude to follow, right, in the Old Testament, right here, as they're getting ready to engage in battle, what better dude to follow than a guy that God says, Joshua pictures my son that is yet to come. Follow him. Listen to him. Trust him. Joshua is the one that gets the instructions from God. He's the one communicating the words of the Lord to the people. He is the appointed leadership. The text states that on that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in all the sight of Israel. Something changed that day. Those that were following now had trust in Joshua because God confirmed it. Those they had now witnessed God working through Joshua, they're like, okay, Joshua did say that if we followed the priests that bear the ark and they went into the river and the river stopped, that we could cross, and now we're crossed. So obviously, Joshua knows what he's talking about. He's really getting communication from God. He's not making stuff up. They've seen the Lord working through the leadership. In church, we should see the Lord working through our leadership. We should witness the Lord's hand at work in those that we're submitted to. That's what we have to do. We must do that. Our fourth point is the title of today's message: Stay Where God Has You. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." I've never used a title of a message as a point in my sermon, but it was just fitting to wrap this up. In verses 15 through 18, "The Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come up ye up out of the Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord came up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted unto the dry land, that the water of the Jordan returned to the place and flowed all over his banks as they did before." It's like full circle. It's like full circle. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. And if you've read the book of Joshua, especially in the beginning here, it seems like things are just repeated over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And it kind of is, because God gives instruction to Joshua. Joshua communicates it to the people. The people do it. And then God does what he said he was going to do. It's amazing. It's like, wow, that's how things are supposed to work. Stay where God has you. In today's society, it seems easier to just quit doing something that is hard rather than to digging in and sticking to the plan. Like I said earlier, me quitting, affects far more than we may ever know. Verses 15 through 18 shows us that we need to stay where God has us until he clearly instructs us to move. The world says, keep moving. Keep looking for what is better. Keep looking for what is easier for your life. But the Bible tells us to endure, or to endure hardness as a good soldier. The good soldiers do not retreat. Good soldiers don't retreat. They stand fast where God has them and waits for instruction, all the while continuing to do what they have been doing already, right? A good soldier doesn't walk out onto the battlefield and say, well, I'm just going to quit. I'm not going to retreat, because I know I can't retreat, but I'm just going to stand here until somebody annihilates me. That's not a good soldier. When God told Joshua to instruct the priests to come up out of the Jordan, they did as they were told. Probably completely worn slick, tired of standing there for so long. The flesh may have been so weak, but they stayed. They didn't flee when things got tough. They didn't complain about their position. They trusted God to provide a way for them to endure. Church, we're in a race of endurance, right? This is a race. Some of us run faster, walk slower. It doesn't really matter, as long as we're moving forward. It's going to take endurance. And we do not learn endurance by taking a break. We learn endurance by pushing through that pain, pushing through that point where we're like, I just can't do it anymore. My legs are going to fall off. I can't run any farther. And we push through that. And before you know it, that mark in our life where we said, I can't do it, is so far behind us that we don't even remember it. And our spiritual walk is the same way. When we think, God, I just can't do it anymore, he says, just keep pushing, child. Just keep pushing. Just keep moving forward. These priests stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded. And when he says, all right, they came out. They stayed until they were told to leave. if we bow out of what we're doing early, what gain is that? If we're looking for greener pastures all the time, the field that we're in is going to suffer. Endurance is something learned, not something bought. Right? If we could buy endurance, man, it would be awesome. You can't. Endurance takes work. These priests were proven, or God would not have chosen them to carry the ark into the Jordan and stand there until they all had crossed over. Whatever you find, whenever you find yourself in ministry today, know that God has us there for a greater purpose than we may ever know. No matter what it is. Do you trust Him to provide a way of endurance until the end? I was thinking about this because I like to look at the timeline of events in my life since I met Jesus. I don't really care two licks about before, but since 2008 until now, and we were tricked into the children's ministry with pizza. I've probably shared that with you before, and they sucked us. They're like, the dude obviously likes to eat. Invite him for pizza. And we went, and we got involved in the children's ministry, and you know what? I'm so thankful for that. And you know what? I would still be so thankful if that's where I was serving today. In fact, I would love to jump down here and run back and spend time with the kids. I love them. And I think that's because that's where God trained me up. That's where He really began to work in my life, by taking God's word and investing it into other people. And you know what? I may have even stayed longer than God instructed us very clearly in His word to do everything that we've done in our life, because I don't want to waste time. Oftentimes I do, but I want to make sure what I'm doing is of the Lord. So we probably stay longer than God's like, I told you 10 minutes ago, 20 minutes, you know, He's like me with my kids. But the thing is that, and I'm not saying that I have anything figured out, but I have figured out that if my steps aren't directed from God, then other people are going to suffer. Other people are going to hurt. Other people are going to become stagnant because of that. And we must just stay where God has us. Man, I'm preaching to the choir, I know that. But it was just fitting for our passage today that these priests had to stay there until God told them. Have you ever had God speak so clearly to you in His Word? Especially like if you're there's a huge decision in your life, right? Huge decision in your life. And you're like, I want to make sure this is of the Lord. And you're like, is this even the King James Bible? Because that is like, it says my name in it, right? It's like, no, I don't want it that clear, God, right? And not that clear. But man, when you experience that, you know God's in it. You know that when you open the Bible and you're reading through the book of Joshua and you're like, well, this is Old Testament. This isn't written to me. It's written for me. But, oh, He says to stay here. Or maybe He's saying, command the priests to bear the ark of the testimony to come up out of the Jordan. Right? Who knows what it is? But all I know is that God clearly has a plan for each and every one of us. And He clearly wants to direct each and every one of our steps. And He clearly wants us to follow His instructions, not our own, right? We could sit through counseling sessions after counseling sessions and people want the magic whatever potion. Fix my marriage. Well, let's go to the instruction manual. Well, I don't have time for the instruction manual. And I don't really want what's in the instruction manual because it's painful. Yes, you're right. But this is what God has given us, and this is what we believe. And God will do what He says He will do, just like He did with the waters. Yes. He dried up the Jordan, and guess what? He let her flow again. His banks. Sorry. He let the Jordan flow again, just as He said He would. Just in His perfect timing. Perfection. That's all God can do. He will do what He says He will do, and we have to have enough faith to believe that. And this is why we're told to walk by faith and not by sight. This is why God is God and not us. This is why we are instructed to follow Him. This is why He is the light and not us. We get to bear the light, but the light, He's the light giver. This is why it's His plan, not our plan. Because, you know, there was probably some super smart dude in this in the children of Israel that could have came up with this magnificent plan in order for this to all happen, but he didn't. He didn't. God said, I have the plan, I have the way, and there's only one way. And today, there's only one way. Praise the Lord, right? This is a picture, right? God says, this is the only way across the Jordan River. Take it or leave it. God says, Jesus is the only way to eternal life. Take it or leave it. He's not making you, but he's like, here it is. Do you want it? Make a choice. The children of Israel could have said, I don't want to cross the Jordan River. I'm staying here. Ignorant choice. The promised land is on the other side. They can see it, right? And the land is dry. All they had to do is walk across. I mean, lost people, do we share the gospel with? They're like, I don't want that. When God has clearly made the path, right? He's clearly made the way. Church, we got to get ready. We're told to go. We are told to take the word to the world, but we must be planted and grounded and rooted in Christ. We got to quit running from him. We got to quit hiding from him. We have to trust his plan for our life. We got to be ready. We got to be obedient. If you're not, why not? We have a great opportunity, right, in Clinton, Missouri, in the heart of America, to get involved in what God is doing. And the days are short, but the word is true. So we need to get after it together. So we need to go.
Go.
Go until God says stop, or don't move until God says go, right? But God is clearly telling us to go out into our community. He's clearly telling us to go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So let's pray.